Hey Tim, how you doing, mate? I think you might be on mute right now.
I am. There you go. Hey,
Oh,
brother.
how you doing, buddy? It's good to see you again.
Great seeing you, man. How you been?
Yeah, very well, thank you. We've got some amazing weather in the UK, which is not a normal thing. We've been going through a bit of a heat wave, so plenty of time out in the sun and interviews here and there, and looking forward to jumping into this one with you. We've got some interesting things to discuss, Congressman. Recently, the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence released its explanatory report for the Defense and Intelligence Authorization Act for 2023, and it contained a series of amendments and proposals to the pre-existing requirements for the US government to be more transparent on the issue of UFOs or UAPs. And this included a sweeping review of all UFO-related data going back to 1947, which is, of course, an interesting date since the infamous Roswell crash was purportedly meant to be in 1947. Alongside this requirement, there is the proposal for a safety mechanism to be established for whistleblowers on this issue who may currently be under restrictive NDAs. And there's also been a proposal for a review of all UFO or UAP-related non-disclosure agreements, which personally I find to be pretty surprising. I didn't expect that kind of language to be in the Def Intel Act. So before we jump into some of the specifics, can I just get your take on these new proposals? Do you feel that this is a positive step within government towards gaining further transparency on this issue?
I think it's a positive step, but you got to realize, government is telling government to do the right thing. And to me, that's I'm a skeptic. I don't trust them. I think they've buried it so far that it's going to be difficult to get anything out of something that happened in 1947, much less anything that happened in 1997. I mean, it was just we're going to have to have somebody come forward with some serious information for us to ever get to where we need to be. And I am I'd like to say I'm excited about all this stuff, but I've seen it happen too many times before. The reports, the redacted reports that look like Swiss cheese. I don't trust these people, and I don't think the people that are in a position to ask questions are knowledgeable like you or I or some of these other people are. And the last thing they'd want to do is get them up on the stand asking tough questions.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. I mean, I have to say some of these proposals within the Select Committee's report are so bold that it kind of makes me concerned that this could inadvertently act as a bit of an early warning signal to those within the intelligence and defense communities who are attempting to hold back answers and disrupt the process. Because if these things are being proposed for 2023, you can almost imagine people are running around with burn bags and saying, get rid of this, get rid of that, in preparation.
Or put it in another compartment, whereas it's not covered under that. What you would have to do is literally have someone in the White House literally just send his people over the day they're sworn in with no warning and say, grab this material, and have somebody on the inside who knows that material, and it's somebody that's not gonna go back to their bosses and say, hey, I've been contacted, they're gonna hit y'all with this, let's get it. And so again, I think what we need to do is provide some sweeping legislation that says no blemishes on your record. If they do, those people will be fired or whatever, and then those people are going to have to come forward, and that will not happen.
Well, this is one of those intriguing parts of this language that's been used in the Defense Intelligence Act, because they did mention the establishment of a safety mechanism for whistleblowers to assist in providing immunity for those that want to speak out about, their involvement in UFO-related programs or research endeavors for the US government. And I think that this does cover both legacy as well as current programs and efforts. And so it makes me wonder, do you think putting this kind of system in place would encourage people who may be under NDAs within the unacknowledged black programs very deep down? Do you think it would encourage them to come forward?
It will encourage some of them too, but I still suspect, somebody's going to be whispering in somebody's ear saying, this is a national security issue. We can't allow this. The so-called men in black, which, I mean, it's going to be a higher up of one of these alphabet agencies. It's going to be whispering in somebody's ear. And I believe, it's blackmail is the name of the game in this operation. I mean, they have something on somebody, and And then you wonder why somebody flips on an issue and somebody whispered in there, hey, you don't want this stuff out, man. Don't make these people do this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they, you know, and somebody they know, somebody they're close to comes to them and says that, you know, it's the classic. It's like the mob hit. It's always when somebody gets hit, it's somebody they know, usually. And that's why they're unsuspected of it. And they're not prepared to have a recording device. And, you know, I don't want to get into all the paranoia, but it's obviously has to be something of that nature that has kept this under wraps for so many years. And then with the seeing these, go back to the Navy, the Tic Tac videos, that's too much. That is just too much to hear them say this is happening on a regular basis. And this is the first we're hearing about it. It's a cover up. And, you know, and I'm the only one saying anything really about it. I've basically been shut down by other congressmen and senators, supposed to have meetings with some, and then they call off the meeting, you know, and I get that. And you know, and I see the negative stuff coming out on my campaign about, oh, Burgett, you know, he says there's UFOs in the Bible. Well, go read your dadgum Bible.
There are some pretty interesting things in the Bible.
Well,
folks.
I mean, Ezekiel saw the wheel. It's a clear
it's an interesting
definition of one. You know, except it's a King James interpretation of something that the most technologically advanced object they had then was a wheel.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. Well, this has been echoed through history. I mean, people need to understand that it's not a modern phenomenon. This is really something that's been present throughout human history.
And of course, imagine if we all got united, this world. I'm not for one world government by any stretch of imagination. Just imagine if we realized that we're not alone in the universe, and maybe that we better start looking out for the world instead of just our own little slice of the pie. And maybe the boogeyman overseas isn't quite the threat we thought it would be.
Well, I think, you know, we're certainly in a weird time. A lot of power structures on a global scale that are seizing a lot of control over people's lives, and people are feeling very divided, both kind of societally, economically, politically. Do you feel that at least to some degree, the UFO issue represents an example of bipartisanship within a pretty divided political aisle in America?
I think it could. And I think that leaves them no reason to disclose what's going on, because if we honestly, man, I mean, look at overseas, look at the Middle East, look at America, look at the leadership structure. It's these old folks that are still in power, no matter what, you know, look at our U.S. Senate, it goes left, you know, left or right, but it's the same people.
Same thing.
And it's like when I remember my dad was telling me, my dad was a long time administrator at the University of Tennessee. He's a World War II veteran. He was in the Pacific, but he was telling me, we were looking at this debate between, it was, Dr. Timothy Leary and G. Gordon Liddy. And Liddy had busted Leary back in an acid bust or something in California back when he was with maybe the FBI, or I'm not sure. But anyway, they were traveling around the country debating. And I said to Dad, I said, gosh, I bet they just hate each other. And he said, are you kidding me? He said, after they get that big check, they're probably over at Regis Restaurant, which is not here. Regis Restaurant here in Knoxville, toasting each other with a big old expensive glass of champagne and a couple of steaks in front of us, you know. And that's what our power structure really is. If you look at the major players, you know, they're all up in Kenny Bunkport in America. I'm sure there's somewhere over in Europe that they get together. It's the same crowd.
Yeah.
And they just laugh about it. I mean, look at the Middle East. You know, Daddy used to say, and he was quoting somebody else, but old men make decisions and young men die. And the same old people that are in power. And then when they die, or they do move on or whatever, it's somebody right below them that usually there's no big shakeups. You know, it's just recycle the same people. And for them to get to that level, they have to be either compromised or corrupt.
To
move up. And that's just the way it is. That's why Trump was, everybody, you know, I know people hate Trump, but that's why he shook it up and he took it on, and they couldn't stand it. And that's why they're still continuing trying to bury him. I mean, he makes you know, he makes his own mistakes. Obviously, he's not somebody, you know, that you know, he endears the conservative faction because we're just so sick and tired. We've seen this happen time and time again, and the good old boy network as well. And I don't know what you'd call it overseas. Yeah. It's very simple.
I would say he certainly stirred up the status quo establishment political architecture. It kind of started to, you know, shake. And I think that with the current administration, just from a, you know, outsider perspective looking in, it's furthering the state of the political divide in the country. And, you know, there needs to be some sort of reconciliation with that. And, it, you know, you mentioned actually the military industrial complex and this idea of treating these unidentified aerial phenomena as a threat. And I was wondering, because I understand being cautious, obviously, in the face of an unknown and that is more sophisticated than ourselves. But do you personally feel that these UFOs represent a legitimate threat to national security, or should we be treating this more with a sense of curiosity before jumping to that conclusion? Because I feel like what we're doing, we're essentially handing this issue over to the military-industrial complex, who profit off of warfare yeah. and want more of it. So should we be letting the military handle the way in which we engage with these UFOs?
I think when they release it, if they ever do, that will be the thing. We need to watch this. Of course, we need to be concerned that something's in our military airspace that we do not control, that they admitted that 14 close near misses, whatever that means.
Yeah.
But honestly, I mean, since they've been around, since we've recorded history, and they haven't done anything to us, I don't fear them. I honestly don't. I don't fear them one bit. I look at it as a curiosity, but I look at it as something we should study, and that we should reach out and try to figure out what it is, and we should disclose to the American public, or well, the world public, all the government should. I mean, that tells you the level of collusion. That goes back to my theory about you know, the same. I mean, you figure world leaders, Russia, China, America, Great Britain, wherever, will not disclose this information. That is the one thing they do agree on. And there is something, some compelling interest or controlling interest that keeps them that way. So that should tell you, that should be a warning to yourself that it's a threat to them, to leadership, not to you.
Yeah.
And so I mean, with that incredible technology, I mean, they could wipe us off. We would just be a burnout blob of carbon floating around in the universe if they wanted to, I think, with that, the ability to travel at whatever they're doing.
I agree. I absolutely agree. I think that it's not so simple as to just kind of say these are invaders or some sort of threat, at least not at this point in the discussion. Something that came up actually, well, after our last conversation, where I brought up the Admiral Wilson leaks, or the Eric Davis notes, as they're commonly known, that for those that don't know, they detail an apparent conversation between Department of Defense astrophysicist Eric Davis and the 13th director of the DIA, amongst other flag ranks, Admiral Thomas Wilson. And the conversation details how Admiral Wilson investigated the UFO issue within government, discovered hidden programs that were dealing with the reverse engineering of an off-world, non-human vehicle, but was declined any sort of need to know on the program level, was given a meeting and essentially told to shut up about it. Well, this document that was leaked out of the estate of the deceased Apollo 14 astronaut Edgar Mitchell, and I personally know some of the people within that chain of custody that leads to his estate, this document was brought up by Mike Gallagher during the congressional hearing on UFOs, where he questioned the two Pentagon officials on the government's internal knowledge.
And then finally, are you aware of a document that appeared around 2019, sometimes called the Admiral Wilson memo? Or EW Notes memo?
I am not.
You're not. Are you
trying? I'm not personally aware of that.
Okay. Well, this is a document in which, again, I'm not commenting on the veracity. I was hoping you would help me with that, in which a former head of DIA claims to have had a conversation with the Dr. Eric Wilson and claims to have sort of been made aware of certain contractors or DoD programs that he tried to get fuller access to and was denied access to. So you're not aware of that?
I'm not aware, Congressman.
This document has actually since been uploaded directly to congress.gov and is available for public viewing, which is amazing to me. I've been familiar with these documents for quite some time, so to see them on the congressional website is quite amazing. Do you know if there's much discussion within DC regarding those leaks?
Not a whole lot. Gallagher's a former Marine Corps officer, and he is a interesting cat that kind of caught people off guard. But what interests me about it was I received a text from somebody immediately upon that, and they said they are lying. They have that in their and so again, there's not enough people that know about it, and people like me don't get to ask questions because I was told I was going to get to ask questions, and then I was texted during the meeting and said, in fact, we will not get to ask any questions. Is there something you'd like to ask? And they further butchered my question, which really didn't amount to a whole lot of anything when it was asked. But yeah, I again, Gallagher's one of many on that committee, and even Adam Schiff. And I don't agree with that on a whole lot. He's a friend. We talked. We had a heated debate on the floor one night about 1:30 in the morning, and then he came over and shook my hand after it was over with. And everybody was like, "What's that about?" And I said, "I don't agree with him. We're still friends. I don't get off an elevator when somebody comes on." But back to your point, I think that I just don't think enough people know to ask the right questions on that committee, and I think that's by design. And I think they compartmentalized those people that came before us to the point where they don't have to lie because they don't know what the heck anything about. They're just another bureaucrat they put over there. They paid their dues. You know, they know, you know, they were on the intelligence committee to study, you know, fruit flies or something. I don't know. But they didn't show me a whole lot. And they did their thing. They said, "We're going to have a hearing." They did it.
Yeah,
and oddly enough, I was the only congressman to show up, the only one who was not on the committee.
Wow,
you know, and the UFO community has got to get out of their little circle of influence and start, or the UAP. I don't call it UAP. I think that's just another way to. To dilute it, but they need to start emailing and calling, and not threatening, but just. Say, "Hey, man, you represent me. This is an issue I'm concerned about. And here are some specifics, something short, a couple of paragraphs, nothing more than that." You know, these people write 6-page letters and, you know, you got to get a lawyer to figure out what Philadelphia lawyer to figure out what the heck you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, this was done actually by a channel called the Unidentified Celebrity Review. They had a big thing called the Big Phone Home, and they got you know, people to contact their local political representatives, and they created templates for people to download so that they could just kind of send this off with their name signed. And you know, there has been that kind of movement over the past couple of years, but like you said, there's just the level of the effect, it's not strong enough right now. And I make a point of highlighting what you highlighted as well when I'm having these discussions, is that, you know, the majority of government, especially within Congress, who are hearing about this stuff, they just know about as much as us, maybe even less, because they haven't been researching it. So you can't expect them to understand how to ask very intricate questions that would get into the real, like, labyrinth of what the government might know about this. And so I think it's up to, you know, people like yourself to kind of keep having these types of conversations. Maybe it will encourage others who are quietly sitting there thinking, "All right, well, maybe Tim is onto something here, and I should be pushing for this." People are the stigma still exists. People are afraid of it still, and I think it that does.
Because my opponent is hitting me on that, and I thoroughly expected that to happen. You know, but I've been in this game for in elected office for, let's see, I don't know, over 25 years, I guess, 26, 27. I don't know what it is. I know it's kind of put a pencil to it, but the, you know, and it's not hurting me. It just, you get a few phone calls and you freak out. But I tell you, I've had so many people locally. Last night, I got a text from somebody who was a friend of a friend and said, "Hey, you know, I wasn't abducted or anything. I was just out at my house and this flew over the house and they described it to me." I mean, you know, time and time again, I've got pictures
that
are, but I'm having analyzed right now that were Polaroids from the late 60s or early 70s to, you know, to see just what the heck they think that is. And it's very clear. And this was from somebody who had a clearance that was a pilot. You know, those things, it was sort of a deathbed kind of confession that he gave this to his family and said, in fact, this is real. Mm-hmm. And person's gone now, but it's not spooky to me, but it's just every day somebody comes forward. And the reason those people sent me those pictures, they were an old family friend. And I had no earthly idea. They saw me sitting back there at the committee.
That's it. Yeah.
And they were people that I would have never, ever, but they're believers now.
Yeah. Well, I think, like you say, we, you know, step by step, things are going very slow with the government, the bureaucratic process, but there is scientific engagement now. There's grassroots scientific involvement from different institutions, different private groups getting established. So my hope is that we can move away from the national security kind of threat mitigation aspect of this and just move into what are these things? Let's really find out. Let's have a serious conversation about something that is actually quite serious and shouldn't be made fun of. So I think that you're brave for standing up and actually talking about this when people are obviously going to take hits at you for doing so.
Yeah, I told me I was interviewed on something few weeks back and they said I'm a hero in Australia.
Well, the Australians are loving the UFO conversation. I've got a good friend of mine, Ross Coltart, who works out in the Australian media. He's been kicking down doors for a while now and getting some very interesting people to come out and talk to him, and that's still ongoing. One thing before we wrap up here, I'd love to ask you if you genuinely feel that the US government, within some aspects of its vast infrastructure, in some dimly lit program in a place we won't know the name of, has in its possession materials, technologies, vehicles, perhaps biological samples that are non-human in nature.
I do. I've talked to people that have, see how I can say this, that are no longer with the government, that have with very good credentials, scientific mm-hmm. credentials, that have in fact held the material in their hand, have analyzed it, and that it meets a, today we could probably reproduce it, but back when they got it, it was out there. And I think it's been passed on to several major corporations. Mm-hmm. And I think the craft is, if there is a craft, it's probably been to, you know, if they're able to disassemble it, it's been passed around a little bit. But I think there's some, at some point there is some material out there. And I mean, the guy talked to me, he had no reason to lie. It wasn't anything. But I warn people in government though, too, people like myself, we're going to get set up. There's going to be a government agency that's going to, you know, the false flag thing. They're going to show something, they're going to easily, and then, you know, I'll come forward with it and it'll be easily debunked. And I warn people about that, to just mm-hmm. be very careful, because yeah. I've had a lot of calls from people saying, I've got this, I've got that. And, you know, I say, well, bring it to me then. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to, just because you've got a, that's why these pictures I have, I'm not doubting these people, because they have no reason. I actually genuinely believe that it's real, but I'm still cautiously optimistic about it. In my lifetime, it'll happen. Maybe it'll be in my daughter's lifetime. But I believe there's going to be contact and it's going to be proven, because there'll be a crash or there'll be a craft or something that is visible outside of one of these military areas. And it will be, and with this crazy internet and these cell phones, it's going to be instantaneous, and the government will not be able to shut it down fast enough, and then they'll have to come forward at some point. And then I think you'll see the so-called chinks in the armor break loose, and we will get some real proof. But until then, it's just, you know, I'm fighting this fight. I've been told by other congressmen, it's like, gosh, Burchett, we're dealing with so much more important than this. And I'm thinking, what's more important than something that's in our airspace that we do not control, allegedly don't control. Mm-hmm. Now, some people are, I've been told by folks in the military that it is in fact ours. And it's just,
so have I, so have I.
And that we are, but if it was ours, I mean, literally we would be, We would own China. We would own Russia. The Ukrainian conflict would not occur. I mean, we could put something over there that fast with that delivery system. It just wouldn't happen. And so if it is ours, it is something we've recovered and we don't know exactly how to handle it, which I have a lot of questions about that. So I tend to think it's probably something that is still controlled by someone from outer space, or some being from outer space, I should say, whatever. And that, I know that scares people and it freaks people out, but it's just too much. Too many Navy pilots have come forward and they've talked to me personally, and they have nothing to gain from it other than public humiliation.
Absolutely agree with you. And I hope that we're both around long enough to see something real happen with this and see some genuine chinks in the armor, because it's one of those fundamental questions of the human journey. You know, is there a God? Are we alone in this universe? These are the big questions. If we can answer at least one of them satisfactorily for the objective scientists and the analytics in this world, then that would be fantastic. I'm still hoping for both of them. You know, we'll prove them both at some point. But Congressman, thank you so much for your time. It's always a pleasure to get your opinion on this.
Brother, thank you so much. And please keep the heat up on it. Let's.
You too.
Time is their friend. And, you know, we lose track of it. And life gets in the way, and as it should. And but it is something that we should get some answers. Thank you, brother.
You're welcome, brother. Take care of yourself.